Thank God for his word tonight. Everybody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. One person said that we find the Bible difficult because we try to read it as we would read any other book. And the Bible is not like any other book. Praise God. This book is a spiritual book. Can you say amen? One man said that I believe a knowledge of the Bible without a college course is more valuable than a college course without a Bible. Praise God. And that's not de-emphasizing education. Spurgeon said, no one ever outgrows the Bible. The book widens and deepens with our years. Thank God for this book we call the Bible, the precious Word of God. So it's been a delight to be here. Thank you for everything, the music, choir, all the pictures, all of everything. It's been great. Let's turn to 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse 19. And I would have to just simply say that I appreciate so much Brother Billy McCool and his family. Brother McCool was preaching in 1956 when I went to the altar. Lord have mercy. February of 1956, I went to the altar the first time in my life to pray as a 15-year-old teenager, and Brother Billy McCool was preaching. Amen. I've been serving God ever since then. What an impact he had on my life. And they were at our wedding, and they've been great friends through the years. Now, in 2 Samuel 18, verse 19, then said Ahimeaz, the son of Zadok, let me now run and bear the king tidings, how that the Lord hath avenged him of his enemies. And Joab said unto him, thou shalt not bear tidings this day, but thou shalt bear tidings another day. But this day thou shalt bear no tidings, because the king's son is dead. Then said Joab to Cushai, go tell the king what thou hast seen. And Cushai bowed himself unto Joab and ran. Then said Ahimeaz, the son of Zadok, yet again to Joab, but howsoever, let me, I pray thee, also run after Cushai. And Joab said, wherefore wilt thou run, my son, seeing that thou hast no tidings ready? Now he said, Joab said, Ahimeaz, you're wanting to run. You're wanting to give a message. You're wanting to deliver a message to the king and to the king's people. But he said, how are you going to run seeing that you have no tidings ready? Praise God. So for a few minutes tonight, running without a message. Running without a message. Let's pray right now. Heavenly Father, would you touch us in the Holy Ghost in these few moments? May the Spirit of God speak to our hearts. Draw us into your divine presence once again. And let me be a mouthpiece for you tonight. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Please be seated and God bless you tonight in Jesus' name. Now, this story that I've read from tonight deals with the death of Absalom. All of us are familiar with the death of Absalom, who was David's son. He was the king's son. We know about the rebellion that Absalom caused and the grief that he caused to his father. Absalom's death came at the hand of Joab. And the Bible said not only Joab, but 10 of his young men were there, and they took care of Absalom. The story is given here in the book of 2 Samuel, how that when the battle was very hard against Absalom, he decided to make an escape. And he got on his trusted mule, and with his long hair, it caught in the tree, in the limbs of the tree. And the Bible said that's where he was as he rode his mule, under this great oak. And the mule ran on from under him, and he was left hanging from the tree. And Joab came and threw darts into the heart of Absalom while he was yet alive, in hanging from the oak tree. And the Bible says that 10 young men that were Joab's armor bears, they compassed about and they smote Absalom also, and so he died. They were getting vehement revenge against Absalom and what he had done to his father. But now then, someone had to go to the king. David wanted to go out in battle against his son. He was persuaded by the leaders of his own army not to go out in battle against Joab, or rather against Absalom, whom he loved deeply. They had persuaded him not to go, and so David had tarried behind. Now then, it comes someone's responsibility. Someone's got a message to go give the king, and has got to go to David and break the news of Absalom's death. And the Bible says that Ahimaaz, who was the son of Zadok, he jumped up in his fervor and in his desire. He jumped up and said, let me go, Joab, let me go. I'll go tell the king. I'll go tell the king's crowd that he's got around him, all of his family and his people. I'll go tell him this message. But finally, Hushai got ready, and he said, if you don't care, I'll go. And so the Bible said Ahimaaz got back up, and he said, why don't you let me go? And Joab said, how are you going to run, seeing that you have no tidings ready? How are you going to go and deliver this message, because you weren't there, and you didn't see it specifically, and you don't have the full details? You don't know everything about the story. We need somebody to go that was there and knows the story and has got the details and knows what to say to give an adequate message. We don't need just any message. We need the right message. Amen. I said we don't need just any message. We need the right message. And the king has got to be pleased with the message that the bearer of the news is going to come and tell him. The king has got to be pleased and got to be happy, or we can incur the wrath of the king. Praise God. And so the Bible says that Hushai took off and went to tell the king. And finally, here comes Ahimaaz. And the Bible said that they saw him coming. The watchmen saw them running, and they said, there's one man running alone, so he must have a message to tell. He must have a story. And so the watchman said, methinketh, verse 27, not too good English maybe, but he said, methinketh the running of the foremost is the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok. And the king said, he's a good man, and he comes for the good tidings. And Ahimaaz called and said to the king, all is well. And he fell down on the earth upon his face before the king and said, blessed be the Lord thy God, which hath delivered up the men that lifted up their hand against the Lord my king. Now, here's what he did. Ahimaaz ran, but when he got to the king, Brother Davis, he did not give a complete message. If you'll notice the story, he did not say what the king was looking for and wanted to be said. David was looking for one particular message. I want to know if my son is alive. I want to know if my son's dead. That's the message. I don't care about all this other stuff that you've got to say. You can just forget all the protocol, because my number one priority is I want to know if my son's still alive. And Ahimaaz came and he gave greetings, but he did not have the message. And the Bible says that when Ahimaaz gave his answer, Ahimaaz said this in verse number 29. He said, king said, what'd you see? He said, I saw a great tumult, but I knew not what it was. Or he said, I saw, the word tumult means commotion. I saw a great commotion. I saw a lot of activity, but I really don't know what happened. All I saw was some dust. All I saw was just sort of a little picture of it. But king, I couldn't tell you for my life what I saw. I saw confusion. I saw chaos. I knew something was happening, but I can't tell you what really happened. And the king said, I've got to know more than that. I've got to have a clear message. And so Cushai came, and he said in verse 31, "Tidings, my lord, the king, for the Lord hath avenged thee this day of all them that rose up against thee." And the king said unto Cushai, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" And Cushai answered, "The enemies of my lord against thee to do thee hurt, be as that young man is." Now then, Cushai gave an answer. Now here's the point that I want you to see tonight, is that Ahimaaz wanted to run. He desired to run. He wanted to go and get before the king. He wanted to deliver a message. But all he saw was a tumult. All he saw was confusion. And he really didn't have a clear message. But Cushai came behind him and he said, "Sir, in essence, I was there. I saw it. Your son is dead." And then the Bible says that David began to weep for his son, for he realized he was dead. And he said, "Oh Absalom, my son, would to God that I'd died for thee. Oh Absalom, my son, my son." Now then, he's got the clear message. He's heard what he desired to hear, and it brought great consternation to his heart. Now, in looking at that story, I want to say this tonight, and in the tenor of this conference, there's a lot of people running. And there's a lot of voices out here that are being heard. Amen. You can't afford to listen to just every kind of voice. Amen. That's it. There's a lot of voices. There's a lot of messages being preached. There's a lot of churches. There's a lot of steeples. There's a lot of stained glass windows. There's a lot of pulpits. There's a lot of pews. There's a lot of trained clergy that's standing behind the pulpit every week preaching something. But the king tonight is saying, "I want somebody to deliver the message that knows what happened." Praise God, praise God. Brother McCool, you sing a song, "I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know." Praise God. I tell you tonight, we need some people that were there. We need some preachers in the pulpit that said, "When repentance time came, I was there. When baptism time came, in Jesus' name, I was there. When it came time to be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues, I was there." Praise God, praise God. "I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know." Glory to God. Glory to God. Paul said, "Thou Lord's many, and thou God's many, but to us, the true church, there's but one Lord Jesus Christ." Praise God. It's been said in this conference, there is one Lord, there is one faith, there is one baptism, there is one God and Father of all, who's above all, who's through all, and who's in you all. Praise God. Jesus said, "I and my Father are one." He said, "When you see me, you've seen the Father." We need some preachers that have stayed long enough to get past the tumult and past the cloud and past their own desire. We need some preachers that are baptized with Holy Ghost power. Amen. This is no hour for dead preachers in the pulpit. Hallelujah. I admire Brother French. He's got education, but he's also got some power with it. Praise God. Thank God for education tonight. But in all of our getting, let's get some power. Let's get some anointing. Let's say, "I was there when it happened." Praise God. I got it. I got it. I got it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, the fact is tonight that many have started running before they got the message. There's a lot of folks that's wanting to run. They're wanting to preach real bad. But they haven't got the message yet. Jesus said in Luke chapter 24, 45 through 49, he told them to tarry in Jerusalem until. Is that what he said? He said, "Tarry until you be endued with power from on high." Praise God. Preaching is not just a vocation. Preaching is not just a business. Preaching is not just an occupation. I still believe it takes the Holy Ghost to call a man to preach the gospel. I don't care how much you want to run, how fast you want to run, or how fast you can run when you get started. Brother, make sure you've got the message right before you start running. Hallelujah. Or else when you get to the king, all you're going to be able to say is, I saw a lot of commotion. I saw a lot of activity, but I really don't know what happened. Hallelujah. In this hour, we are desperate for a clear note and a certain sound. Hallelujah. Somebody told me a while back, said, I'm tired of hearing Acts 2:38 preached. And I said, I'm going to tell you something. I've been hearing it since I was a teenager. I've never got tired of it. I love this message. I love this gospel. I love the name of Jesus. Praise God, praise God. Praise God, praise God. And to the young preachers that's in this building tonight, before you ever go and begin to tell your message, make sure you tarry and you wait and you stay until you get power, till you get the Holy Ghost, till you get the truth in your heart. And then when you go, praise God, you'll have something to tell and you'll have something to say. Clap your hands for the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. There was a young man in a certain district. He was pastoring a church, holding a district office, by the way. Holding a district office. He evangelized for years, and he started pastoring a church. Had about 150 people or so. And so one night he said, for the first time in my ministry, I'm going to teach on the Godhead. So he got up and started teaching. He was very uncertain about it. And I know this person quite well. I know the story. I'm not saying where it was, but he got up and he started teaching. Halfway through his sermon, he got confused. And he said, well, folks, let's all stand. He said, I don't know what I'm talking about myself. He said, let's go home and I'll study some more. We'll come back next Wednesday night and see if Kate knew better. Praise God. I'm going to tell you something. When I was just a teenage boy, they put the love of this oneness, Jesus name, apostolic message in my heart. We sang about it. We talked about it. They preached about it. We testified about it. When folks testified back then, they'd say, I'm glad I've been baptized in Jesus' name. Anybody remember that? I'm glad I've got the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. Brother, they were glad for what they had. They were happy in the name of the Lord. I believe this church tonight ought to get excited and reignited about this great truth that is very close and very dear to our hearts. Don't run without the message. Amen. Don't run without the message. Praise God, praise God, praise God. There's more to preaching than just driving a nice car, living in a nice house, amen, eating fried chicken, drinking iced tea, and just having a good time driving around. One man told me one time, said, I wish I had a job like you've got. I said, what kind of job have I got? I wouldn't even tell me. I wasn't sure myself. And he said, I wish I had a job like you've got. And I said, what kind of job do I have? He said, oh, I said, just drive around all week, do nothing, get up and preach 30 minutes every Sunday, and that's it. I said, I can tell you've never been to our church. You wouldn't say 30 minutes. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. But there's more to preaching than just getting up and having something to say. We'd better make sure a Ahimaaz needs to get the message before he runs. Don't run first and then try to get the message. Don't try to stop along the way and get little particles of it. Praise God. Make sure you get the truth in your heart and then run with everything you've got. Every preacher in this house that's got the truth in your heart. Brother, this is no time to slack off. It's no time to quit. It's no time to compromise. It's no time to back up. It's time to go forward. Praise God. Praise God. Get out of the way. Ahimaaz. Somebody's got the message. Somebody was there. Somebody saw it. Somebody heard it. Somebody knows what they're talking about. Hallelujah. Make room for Cushai. He was there. Somebody shout amen. Praise God. A little boy said to his mother one time, he said, they was going to church all the time, of course. He said, his mother said, I want to be a preacher when I grow up. He was just a little fellow, 7 or 8 years old. She said, oh, that's so admirable. I'm so proud of you. That's wonderful. Said, whatever made you decide you won't be a preacher? She was looking for some great answer. And he said, well, it looks like I'm going to have to go to church all my life. And he said, it's going to be a whole lot harder on me to have to sit there on those pews than to stand up and holler. And to some people, that's about all preaching is. It's just standing up and hollering. Praise God. Let me tell you, while you're screaming, you better have a message to tell. Boy, I'm forgetting excited. I'm for dancing and jumping and shouting and talking in tongues. But the thing of it is tonight, when the man of God steps to the pulpit, we've got to have heard from God. We've got to have a message to tell. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Men and brethren, what shall we do? If the question is still the same, then the answer is still the same. Hallelujah. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, it's to your children, it's to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That's still my message. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Now, I realize you could have a lot of activity and not say much. I've done that. I've been experienced in that. So I can tell you firsthand. And in the years that I've been preaching, you can have a lot of activity. And like the Indian described one man's sermon, he said, how'd you like the sermon? The Indian at church, he said, big cloud, a lot of dust, no rain. Amen. And I've been there, you know. Praise God. I heard of a grandmother that her son went away to Bible school, and she didn't want him to go. She said, I don't want you going to one of them preacher's factories. You know, that's the way they used to call them back then. Praise God. And she said, I don't want you going away one of them preacher's factories. Said, it'll take away your fire. Aren't you glad that these young men up here, oh, I admire these young men, young ladies. They're writing songs about this. They're singing songs about it. Oh, I like that. I like what I feel in this meeting. Praise God. Young people that are declaring their faith and saying, this is what we are. This is who we are. This is what we believe. Writing songs about it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Most of our songs is just some little praise worship and praise chorus and just a few little ditties that you don't even know what they're saying. And I'm not against that, brother. Just go ahead and do it. But somebody write some songs like these folks sung up here tonight that's got some essence. It's got some meaning. It's got some words. It says something. Praise God. I like songs that's got a message in it. Well, praise God. And so she said, I'm afraid for you to go. He said, no, Mom, I'm going to go. Our grandma. So he went away to school, came back after the first semester, came home for Christmas. And she said, all right, what you learn to do? He said, learn to preach. And she said, in the kitchen, Brother Martyr, she said, demonstrate it to me. And tell me, show me how you did. Just the boy and his grandma standing there in the kitchen. So he straightened up his coat. He put his tie just right, and he stood there with his hands down his side, and he said, the big dog chased the little rabbit. He said, across the field, over the fence, and into the holler log. She said, that's what I was thinking. That's the worst preaching I've heard in my life. She said, I never heard such preaching. And he said, all right. And he slung his coat off. Praise God. And he loosened his tie. And he said, bless God. Hallelujah. The big dog takes the little rabbit across the fence, across the field, over the fence, in the hollow log. She said, amen, son. That's preaching now. Praise God. And we got to have more than fire. But bless God, it don't hurt to get a little fire. I said it don't hurt to get a little bit of fire. Pentecostal preachers need some fire. We've always been characterized by fire. Our preaching has always been characterized by anointing. Hallelujah. Clap your hands and shout with me. Praise God. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew 16, Peter had the keys to the kingdom, personally given to him by Jesus Christ. And he said, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Amen. I say tonight that the preachers in this generation, we need to hear this message over and over again. But I also would like to say to the preachers of the next generation, ones that are coming on, praise God, that we need to know what we believe and why we believe it. We're not a bunch of ignoramuses. Hallelujah. I said in my youth, they preached about one God and Jesus' name baptism and you must be born again. They sang it. They testified it. Hallelujah. And they told everybody they could about it. And you know what? I'm living in a state now where there's 8 million people and most of them have never heard the pure gospel preached. When I went to Durham, North Carolina, it'll be 30 years next spring. They had never heard of the United Pentecostal Church. Everybody I talked to, they never heard of it. And I'd say, I'm Pentecostal. The only Pentecostal they knew anything about was Pentecostal holiness. And to this day, they are so geared to Pentecostal holiness that if we send flowers for a funeral, if we don't say, Brother Wilson, every time, that's not Pentecostal holiness, they'll put from the United Pentecostal Holiness Church on the little tag, you know. We got to tell them every time, that's the United Pentecostal Church, not the Pentecostal Holiness. Now, I'm not trying to fight against them. I'm just saying, that's not who we are. We're not Pentecostal Holiness. Praise God. They had never heard. All they'd heard was John 3:16. I don't know how many times I've been to services, funerals, and so on, and somebody hadn't been to church in 30 years, but one man, I went to a funeral recently, and he was preaching the funeral of a man that died drunk, and he said, we have searched the records. He was 40-something years old. He said, we've been searching the records for the last 2 days and desperately trying to find, and we found where this man accepted Christ at the age of 8. Therefore, he's in heaven today looking down, smiling upon this service. And that's the mentality that we face in our state. I don't know what it is here, but I've only met 4 people out of the 8 million in North Carolina that wasn't saved. I only met 4 out of 8 million that told me they wasn't saved. First year I was in Durham, I was knocking doors 3 and 4 and 5 hours a day trying to get people to come to church. And I thought, I finally found me a sinner. A lady came to the door. She didn't have enough clothes on to wash shotgun with. And she was just, I mean, she had hardly no clothes on. She had a can of beer in one hand and was smoking a cigarette in the other hand. And I thought, I finally found me a sinner. And I said, ma'am, I'm Johnny Godare, and I pastor church right over here. I'd like to invite you to church. She said, oh, Reverend, laid her beer down. She said, how kind of you to come and invite me. But I'm a Sunday school teacher over at such and such a church. And I thought, no, I haven't found me a sinner yet. Praise God. I'm still looking for some sinners. You know, good old-fashioned sinners are hard to find. Is that right? I said, good old-fashioned sinners are hard to find. And some say the way to be saved is John 3:16. I'm telling you that John 3:16 is not the plan of salvation. For God so loved the world. Beautiful verse. But he's not telling us how to be saved. He said, for God so loved, I so very strongly love this world, that he gave his only begotten Son. Not eternal Son, but begotten Son. There's a difference there. That whosoever believeth, E-T-H, continues to believe in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Praise God. That verse is not telling you how to be saved. That tells us how much God loves us. And nobody's getting saved in that verse. In fact, the church had not even been started in John 3:16. The church that I'm a part of started in the upper room, praise God, on the day of Pentecost in the book of Acts. Praise God. Hallelujah. you. I said this is a continuation of the book of Acts, church, right here tonight. Somebody shout amen. Praise God, that's who we are. We're a continuation of that book of Acts, church. And so most of them read John 3:16, and they say that's plan of salvation. And then others say, we'll take you to the book of Romans. And they'll say, we'll take you down the Roman road. I hear them in my city. They say, all you got to do is take them down the Roman road. And I know where that Roman road starts and where it ends. And it starts in chapter 3, verse 23. And they'll go through all these verses. The only problem I've got with that is that these folks that he's writing to is already Christians. Anybody want to say amen? I said that's an epistle or letter written to the saints of the church at Rome. And that's not written to sinners telling them how to be saved. Praise God. In chapter 6, they'd already been baptized in Jesus' name. In chapter 8, they already had the Holy Ghost. So the Roman road doesn't exist. There's a Jerusalem road I'd like to tell you about. There's an upper room I'd like to tell you about. I can't tell you about a Roman road, but I can tell you about a Jerusalem road. I can tell you about an upper room. I can tell you about a day of Pentecost. I can tell you about a feast day, a 50th day. Hallelujah. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared in them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. There's no such thing as the Roman road to tell you how to be saved. These folks in Romans were already Christians. I'll stop very shortly. They've got a clock, and I'm assuming it's right down here. So I'm coming. I'm winding it up. But and then in my part of the country, they go to John 3:16 to tell you how to be saved. You won't find the plan of salvation there. They go to the book of Romans. You won't find the plan of salvation there. It's amazing. They know where the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is. And then they play leapfrog and jump over Acts and get into the epistles. And then they go to Ephesians 2, trying to tell you how to be saved. The only problem I got with that, these folks at Ephesus were already saved. They'd already obeyed the truth. Acts 19 was their beginning experience. Praise God. If I say amen. Acts chapter 19, and Paul went down to Ephesus, and the Bible said he asked him a question. First question was, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? He didn't say, have you joined the church? Did you sign the card? Did you shake hands with the preacher? Did you make a public confession? Did you walk the aisle? Did you walk the Roman road? He didn't say that. He said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said, well, if you haven't heard about the Holy Ghost, I'm going to have to inquire about your baptism. Under what then were you baptized? And they said unto John's baptism. And he said unto them, John fairly baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to people, they should believe on him which come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And Paul laid his hands on them. Holy Ghost came on, the speaking tongues prophesied. Praise God. So the church at Ephesus started in Acts chapter 19. So folks go to John 3, telling people how to be saved. It isn't there. The book of Romans tell you how to be saved. It isn't there. The book of Ephesians tell you how to be saved. It isn't there. Praise God. If you want to know how to be saved, you've got to go to the book of the Acts of the Apostles. Hallelujah. 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 I said you've got to go to the book of Acts. There was a man, Brother Kraft, that went to a church, and the preacher was preaching, and he got up, and he said, now, baptism in Jesus' name is not for us today. This guy's a minister. And he took a knife, and he cut that page out. And another Sunday, too, he said, the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues, not for us. He cut it out. And then he said in another sermon a little later, he said, the gifts of the Spirit is not for us today, so we cut that out. And then later he said, God doesn't heal anymore today. That was all for the early church, first century church, apostolic era. But it's no longer for us today. And he cut that out. After about 8 or 10 months, Brother Young, the man come up to the pastor after church, and he said, sir, can I talk to you a little while? And he said, yes. He said, I'd like to give you your Bible. And he said, what do you mean? It's not my Bible. He said, yeah, this is your Bible. He said, I've been coming here for 8 or 9 months, and everything that you said that was in that Bible that we couldn't have today, I've cut it out. And he said, here's your Bible. All there was just two black covers. There wasn't nothing else left. Praise God. He done cut out all the book. Everything was gone. Hallelujah. I'm glad we're in a church tonight that's not trying to tear the book up. We're not trying to uproot this truth. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Most preachers are just preaching faith. Hear me tonight. Your radio preacher, your televangelist, you know what they're trying to do? They're trying to get your money. They're preaching faith. They're preaching prosperity. They're preaching miracles. They're preaching blessings. Hallelujah. But they're doing it for your money. It's a gimmick. It's a game. You can say what you want to. Praise God, praise God. There's very little truth being preached on radio. And I don't know of anybody that's preaching the full truth on television. Now, I'm not going to call any names, but I don't know of anybody that's preaching baptism in Jesus' name, the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues, that's the new birth. One God manifest in Jesus Christ. And holy God living. I don't know of anybody that's doing that today on television, but they're preaching faith and they're preaching blessings and good time. And if you'll do this, God will bless you. Preacher I heard the other night on radio, he said, we're fixing to have to go off this station. He said, we're way behind on our bills. And he said, if you'll send me $50, I'll pray for you that God will give you. And he said, when I pray for you, God's going to give you 10 times as much as that $50 that you send in. And I thought, Brother McCool, you know, if it'll work for those folks that send in the money, maybe he ought to try that. Work for him, see? He said he was thousands of dollars behind on his radio bill, but he said, if you'll send me $50, I pray God will give you 10 times that much. And I thought maybe if he'd pray about himself instead of them, maybe God will give him that much. The obvious answer is there's a lot of things going on under the name of religion that's not really the right thing. And along comes the Jesus name apostolic preacher saying you must be baptized in Jesus' name. You must have the Holy Ghost. You must be born again of water and spirit. Except you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. Praise God. And somebody says, I don't want to hear it. But there's somebody out there that still wants to hear it. I said, there's somebody still wants to hear it. Barry Bird came to me, pastor of the Baptist church. I'm not being critical, if there's any Baptists here, we love you. But Barry Bird came to me, pastor of the Baptist church, years ago. And he said, I heard you preaching on the radio that baptism was in Jesus' name. I said, yes, sir. He said, I've come here to prove you wrong. Came in my office. I said, okay. I said, have a seat. I'd never met him before. He said, I heard you on the radio and said, if I can prove that you're wrong, will you let me baptize you? Using the words Father and Holy Ghost. I said, I will. And I said, if I can prove that you're wrong, will you let me baptize you? And he said, I will. And I said, praise the Lord, hallelujah. I said under my breath, I'm fixing to have me a baptismal service. And I said, you go first, Reverend Bird. And he passed the church about 40, 50 miles with me. I said, you go first. And he said, no, you go first. I said, you sure? He said, yeah. I said, okay. Let's go to Matthew 28:19. And he said to me, Brother Davis, he said, just a minute, that's my verse. I said, no, sir, that's my verse. He said, that's the only one I had. I said, let's talk about it. Praise God. Matthew 28:19, no one was getting baptized. It was a commission. It was a command. Jesus said to the apostles, you go and you teach and you baptize them in the name. Somebody say in the name. He didn't say names, plural. He said in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our message to every, hear me as is, don't run till you get the message. Don't run till you get the message. Stay at Jerusalem until you get the message. He said, all right, what does that mean? I said, what's the name of the Son of God? He said, Jesus. I said, you're right, Matthew 1:21. She said, bring forth son, thou shalt call his name Jesus. I said, are you satisfied with the name of the Son of Jesus? He said, yes, sir. I said, what's the name of the Father? He said, I don't have the slightest idea. He's pastor. I'm telling you, word for word, if he's here tonight, I'll tell you that. I was just with him last week. And he said, I don't have the slightest idea. And I said, let's go to John 5:23. Jesus said, I'm coming in my Father's name. I said, now, if my name's go there, what's my Father's name? And he told me, and I said, now, if his name were Jesus and he came in his Father's name, what was his Father's name? He said, would it be Jesus? I said, I think so. John 17:26, Jesus said, Father, I declare to the world thy name. Hebrews 1 said he got his name by inheritance. Who do you inherit your name from? And he said, I said, do you understand what the name of the Father is? I said, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are merely titles. That's not a name. But Jesus said to baptize in the name. And he said, all right, what about the Holy Ghost? I said, what's the name of the Holy Ghost? He said, I don't know. I said, let me tell you, John 14:26, that the Comforter, which Jesus said, which is the Holy Ghost, which will come in my name. And Brother Mooney, so help me, when I said, there you see, my friend, the name of the Father, Jesus, name of the Son, Jesus, name of the Holy Ghost, Jesus. He jumped straight out of his chair before he ever got a chance to defend his message. He said, baptize me right now in Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God. And I said, no, sir. I'm not going to do it. He said, I thought you said you were going to baptize me. I said, I'm not going to do it tonight. I said, you go back to your church. And I said, I want you to preach this Wednesday night. He said, I don't know it well enough, preach it. I said, I'll write down the verses for you. And you study them all week, and that was Sunday night. I said, Wednesday night, you get up and preach it. And Wednesday night, he got up and preached it. And the deacon board said to him, as soon as he got through, they said, could we talk to you, Reverend, for a few minutes? They said, where in the world did you get such a strange doctrine? He said, out of a little book called the Bible. And they said, we don't want that here. Praise God. And he said, well, I'll have to preach it anyhow. And they said, well, you're not going to preach it here. And he stood up and said, how many wants to follow me? And three more families followed him. And so the next night, Thursday night, I baptized 8 adults instead of just him. Baptized him and his wife. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You may be seated. He stayed in our church for a while, and then we sent him to a town right near his hometown. And make a long story short, he started a home mission church. And tonight, he has a beautiful church. He's an ordained preacher in the United Pentecostal Church. He is preaching this message. He loves it with all of his heart. He's got 150 people or so in his church. He's a member of our Sunday school committee for the district. Praise God. I'm telling you, there's still some hungry hearts out there that are looking for the truth. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Just about a year ago, a couple came to our church, and they said, could I talk to you? Nice looking young couple. And I said, sure, I'll talk to you. And they talked, and they said, we've been baptized Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. So I explained Jesus' name, baptism. Make a long story short, they both got baptized, about 30 years old or so. Nice couple, one child. And I didn't know it till weeks later. Weeks later, I found out, just this year, early part of this year, I found out that her daddy is the district superintendent of the Church of God of the North Carolina district. Her daddy is district superintendent. And so she and her husband, they come every service. They're teaching Sunday school. They're running the bus route. Praise God. Folks come to church, I believe, get them involved. Best way to lose what you got is to sit around and do nothing. Everybody gets Holy Ghost, start doing something for God. If you wait 2 or 3 years, well, you kind of become a little stale. Praise God. But anyhow, her daddy has talked to her and said, I'm a good mind to disown you for that Jesus name message. But she's standing strong and true. And then they started witnessing to a Church of God pastor in our city. Pastored there for years. He was their pastor, Brother French. And they started witnessing. They brought him to our church just a few short months ago this year. And we baptized him in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And now then, he's left the Church of God and is now a member of the United Pentecostal Church. Praise God, praise God. In recent times, we baptized 8 Trinitarian preachers in Jesus' name. Since we've been in Durham, we baptized over 20 friendly preachers in Jesus' name. I'm going to tell you, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Let's all stand up. Let's all stand up. Let's clap our hands. Oh, let's praise God. Hallelujah. Our musicians come. Let's praise God for the truth tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Remain standing with me tonight. Praise God. Hear me, as I like your desire. I like your zeal. I like your go ye. I like the fact that you want to go and tell something. But don't forget that before you go, make sure you've got the message. Hallelujah. What you see, Ahimeaz, I saw a tumult. I saw a lot of commotion. I saw a lot of action. What'd you see? That's about all I saw. I saw people running around everywhere. I saw a lot of activity. What'd you see? I that's about all I got, King. That's about all I saw. He said, true shout, what'd you see? He said, I saw your boy get killed. I got the message for you. And on this last night of this steadfast conference, I want to just add my little bit to what's already been said. I believe we must stay strong, firm and true in this Jesus name, one God apostolic message. There should be no letting down, no compromise, no weakness. Now, I'm not for being mean and ugly. I've never won a soul to God by being mean and ugly to Him. And I teach our people, Brother Mooney, have a good spirit. We teach our people, have a good spirit. Reach out to everybody you can. Hallelujah. You don't build a church and be mean to people and have a nasty spirit. I don't have people to come to our church and say you're all going to a devil's hell and you're a bunch of rotten folks that don't believe the truth. No, sir. We love people. We pray for them. We try to teach them the Word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We had the Jewish rabbi to come to our church 2 weeks ago Sunday. He's been doing it 13 years in a row, 14. I believe this 14th year. He brings a different group every year. He brought 40 people with him 2 weeks ago. And I took the assistant pastor in. He said, we'll come to your church on one condition, that you'll meet with us as a group at the church and let us ask you questions. And they ask everything they want to ask off of the cuff. I don't have no idea what they're fixing to ask. I meet with them at church for 1 hour. And the Jewish rabbi told me 2 weeks ago in front of my assistant pastor, he said, you folks are the closest to us. He said, we visit other churches, but he said, there's no church that we go to that preaches like you folks preach, that are closest to us on one God. He said, I know we don't believe in Jesus, but he said, you folks preach more that I can relate to. And he said, besides that, you can feel something. And there was a lady in that class, about 35, 40 years old. She stayed behind as the rest of them started out. She said, Pastor, what is it that I felt here in this service this morning? She's Jewish. Every one of them are Jewish. She said, what is it that I felt? I said, ma'am, it's the same Holy Spirit power that they felt in the upper room at Pentecost. She said, I'd like to know more about it. The Jewish rabbi has got me out on Duke University campus. Duke University is 3 miles from our church. He's got me out on the campus twice. One time to the president's home, the president of Duke University. Rabbi Friedman got me there for the Marler, and I went in with 40, with the president of Duke University and 40 of their top scholars. And they questioned for 2 solid hours about what do you folks believe? When I got through answering questions, they all said, "We can't find any fault with what you're teaching." For 2 solid hours in the president's home of Duke University. Folks, I'm not ashamed of this message. This thing wasn't done in a corner. I said, I'm not ashamed of this message. Praise God, praise God, praise God. We need to get a love for the truth. Oh, God, help us to get a love for the truth. If you get a love for this truth, you'll never recant. You'll never back away. I know of people in our city that's backslidden away from God, but they still believe that Jesus' name, one God message, you'd never take it out of their heart. I talked to a man in Florida one time that owned a motel, and several preachers, Brother Pipkin, and several of us were together, Brother McCool, and we spent the night in the motel, and he came out there the next morning, and he said, "You men are preachers, aren't you?" And I said, "Yes." And about 5 of us and going to a conference, and he said, "You're Pentecostal, aren't you?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "You're apostolic, aren't you? You're baptized in Jesus' name, believe one God." And I said, "Yes." Big tears started flowing down his cheeks. Big, tall guy, about 6'4". We said, "Do you know anything about it?" He said, "Yes, I do." He said, "Gentlemen," tears flowing down his cheeks, he said, "you could take this motel with your bare hands and throw it across that street easier than you could take the truth out of my heart." He said, "I know that Jesus' name apostolic message is true." And he said, "I preached it for 30 years. And then he started weeping, turned around and said, "Just pray for me. Thank God for the message. Thank God for the message. Thank God for this message." I trust and I know and believe that throughout the tremendous messages you've heard last night and today, that it's sparked and kindled within you a deeper love for this apostolic message. The truth will never die. The truth will never die. I've got to tell you a brief story and then I'll sit down. Brother James Gilbert, some of you know him. Some of you preachers know him. He's an old-time preacher. Retired from pastor. And he preached for me last Tuesday night, a week ago Tuesday night in Durham. He's retired. We've been doing a little traveling, preaching. Hadn't been in good health. But he said years and years ago, he was in a certain place. And that was a little Jesus-named church, apostolic, one God. And they ready to close the doors. He couldn't make the payments on the building. And he said, they put it up for public auction on a Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. So Brother Chance, at 10 o'clock on Saturday morning, all the people had gathered. There's one real estate man in that small town that wanted that property desperately. He was going to build a business on it, and he was going to bid on it. Brother Gilbert said that about 10 to 10, all the crowd gathered around, people from all around the town. This was a big occasion. They're going to sell the Pentecostal church, the little Jesus name apostolic church, at public auction because they can't make their payments and pay their bills. And he said a man in a black suit got out of a black car. And with a tie on, he came and stood. He was a stranger. Nobody had ever seen him. He stood there. And so the man got up, the auctioneer, and said, "I'm going to start this bidding off at $10,000. Anybody give $10,000? And the businessman that wanted to live in the city held his hand up. "I'll take it." He said, "I've got a bid of $10,000. Said, "Who'll give $11,000? The man in the black suit, nobody had ever seen before in life. "So I'll give $11,000. He said, "I've got a bid for $11,000. "Who'll give $12,000? And the businessman said, "I'll give $12,000. The man in the black suit, nobody ever seen before. "So I'll give $13,000. The businessman said, "I'll give 14. The man in the black suit said, "I'll give 15. The businessman said, "I'll give 16. This went on, and finally it got to $30,000. This was years ago. And the businessman was looking around. It was unbelievable. He desperately wanted that property, but he wasn't going to go above $30,000. And he said, "$30,000. The man in the black suit said, "$31,000. And he said, "Sold," to the gentleman in the black suit. He said, "Walk up here, sir. Tell us how to make this title out. Tell us how to make this deed out on this property." And he said, "Okay." And he walked up there and he pulled some cash out of his pocket. And he handed him $31,000. And he said, "How do you want it deeded?" He said, "Deed it to the name of the church was." And he said, "Deed it to the First Pentecostal Church." He said, "What?" He said, "Deed it to the First Pentecostal Church." And I heard old Brother Gilbert preach, it's hard to make a church die. And that church now had three people in it then. That church now has over 100 people, and they're in a new building. It's hard for truth to die whenever it gets in your heart. Hallelujah! Nobody knows till this day, Brother Gilbert said, who the man was in the black suit. But he bought the church, the building, and the church still lives. We've got a message to tell. Let's lift our hands and praise him.